Shalom, brothers and sisters. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am again Brother Edgardo Resus from the Philippines, and it's my pleasure to share to you little thoughts from the Word of God for this week's daily devotion. And beforehand, I want to thank again brothers Andrew Fury and Brother Jesse Insema for making this platform of fellowship possible for each one of us. And this has been a platform of blessing for us. This has been a useful platform wherein we can have fellowship with one another by the ministration of the Word, by the able ministers of God from different places. I too am blessed by the ministration of the Word here, and it can make a right start of my day. Even if we do not see physically, but we have had great fellowship in the truth using this platform. Amen. And so we have used the technology wisely. We have used the technology in such a way that our Maker is glorified. Amen. And so we will start this day with a prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for making us up for another day in this terrestrial world covered with your love. May you bless our day with all blessings you could offer to your believing sons and daughters. May you guide us in every decision we shall make today, and whatever life's trials and circumstances each one of us shall face. Amen. And as we open our Bibles today, may you lay a word or two in our hearts that will serve as our daily bread, that our soul may also be filled with spiritual food. Amen. Be with us, Lord, and minister to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just entitle my sharing this week, The Church in Its Beauty and Power. The Church in Its Beauty and Power. And this day, let me talk about resurrection and our metamorphosis. Now, let us open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, for we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Amen. Now, in this writing of Paul, we can see two things: the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and metamorphosis, or the changing of the body of the living saints. You know, resurrection and changing of the body are separate yet related terminology in the Bible. Resurrection simply means rising from the dead. Yeah, rising from the dead or raised to life again. While changing of the body is a different experience by the saints, but There will be those that will resurrect with natural body, and there will be those that will resurrect who will experience a total metamorphosis or a total body change. Amen. As the Bible said in John chapter 5 verse 29, John chapter 5 verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. And then there are also those that will not taste death, but will be changed directly at the coming of the Lord. This is what Paul said in this passage of the scriptures that we've just read. All right, amen. You know, resurrection was never understood and was never believed in by older folks, even the Old Testament folks. Although there were some people of God who understood about resurrection, like Abraham, like Joseph, like Job and David, but other Old Testament folks, they did not have any understanding about resurrection. Yes, there were instances in the Old Testament, examples of people or children who was raised to life again in the Old Testament. Yet, for them, they were just instances back then, and they didn't pose a future event that God would do. Now, let us visit some of Job's and David's statement on resurrection. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me." Amen. Here we can see that Job had an idea about resurrection. He said, "For my Redeemer liveth, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And he said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Amen. And in my eyes, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, yet I shall see God. Amen. So Job here, we can see that he had an idea already about resurrection. Though he be dead in this body, but he said, "I shall see God." Amen. And with David, David said in Psalms chapter 16, Psalms chapter 16 in verse 9 and 10, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Amen. Now, of course, this writing of David, this points to Christ, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But in here, we can see that David had already an idea about resurrection. Amen. Now again, let me reiterate that some of the Old Testament folks did not have any idea about resurrection. Only few men of God knew and had a grasp regarding regarding resurrection. But there were already few samples in the Old Testament of dead children, dead people being raised to life again. But they did not know that in the time future, all dead shall rise again. Amen. No, the older folks did not have understanding, did not have that understanding about resurrection. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we can read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 to 10, Solomon has written this. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Amen. Now Solomon here said, eat and drink. Live joyfully with your wife, for it is your portion in this life. Because when you die, there is no wisdom, there is no knowledge, there is no more eating, there is no more drinking. And so while you live, enjoy. You see, all the days in their lives, they live in the fear of death. And they are even in bondage with it. And so this is written in the book of Ecclesiastes that just eat, drink, live joyfully. Live with your wife joyfully, for it is your portion in this life. Okay? Because after this life, there is no more knowledge, there is no more eating, there is no more drinking. Amen? So the lives they live, they live in the fear of death. And they are even in bondage with that fear. Amen. The old folks, the Old Testament folks. Now, in the book of Hebrew, Paul is also writing this. No? In the book of Hebrew, Hebrew chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, we read, For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all in their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. You see, people who had no idea about resurrection, people who had no faith, people without hope are living in the fear of death all their life, and they are in bondage of satisfying that which the body needs to survive. You know, the Jews have never learned. They always do the law of Moses. They obey it. They do the ordinances, the statutes. they followed the Levitical ordinances, but they did not really know what was them all about. Had they were watchful, had they were mindful on the things of God, they would have known that those Levitical ordinances have something to mean too. They had with them the story of Aaron's rod that budded. It was Aaron's rod was put inside the Ark of the Covenant put together with the two tablets of stone where 10 commandments were written. And Aaron's rod that budded was pointing to resurrection. Amen. Had they were mindful on the things of God, they had have performed the laws with faith, they would have been brought by God to further revelation on things they repeatedly do. Amen. The Bible said that upon reading the law of Moses, upon reading Moses, there was a veil in their hearts. There was their minds were blinded. When Moses is read, the Bible said, the veil is upon their heart, making them to understand not what God is or shall be doing. Those things were hidden in their laws and in their ordinances. Amen. Yes, the rod of Aaron that budded symbolizes, and it was pointing to resurrection. It was that tree was cut off from its stem, from the literal life source. It was removed from the roots, yet it budded again, as if it was risen to life again. Amen. It was put together with the two tablets of commandments. The commandment symbolizes the word of God. And so Israel should have known that in the word of God is life. That life alone, the life which emanates from the word of God, has only the power of resurrection. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the beginning was the word. In him was life. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Amen. Now, moving on to the ages, at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, we can read that some of the Jews, particularly the Pharisees, they teach resurrection, yes. The Sadducees argued with them and said, that is not true. There is no resurrection. But the Pharisees thought resurrection otherwise. And they made it as one of their church doctrine. And so they already had an understanding on resurrection in their days. They said resurrection is real. Amen. They said they confess in their lips that there is resurrection. Yes, they confess in their lips that there is resurrection. Yet their lives did not manifest that life, the power, the resurrected life. You see? And it's one thing to have a doctrine. It's one thing to have a teaching and an understanding inside the churches. But it's another thing, brothers and sisters, it's another thing if this teaching is rooted upon the life of God. God visited upon our hearts his life. Amen. The word. An understanding, a doctrine that is only coming from human intellect has no power at all. It has no life. Amen. But an understanding, a doctrine coming from God has life. It has power. It has the breath of the living God. Amen. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if our doctrine comes from the in-breath of God, it will manifest the life of God in us. It will put away carnalities in us. Amen. And it will enable us to manifest a godly living. Amen. But if our understanding, if it is only a copycat of what is real, it has no root at all. It has no life. It has no power. Amen. And so the Pharisees, even though they confess that there is resurrection in their lips, yet still they live in the bondage of the fear of death. Amen. They still live in gross darkness. They still live a hopeless life. They still fear death. It is because their understanding is only coming from their mental intellect. Amen. Amen. They still live hopeless. Because we can only live a life full of hope if the power of the living God, the life of God itself, is vested in us. Amen. And that life, that breath of God teaches us. That breath of God brings us understanding. That life of God breath us revelation. And that settles everything. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think this is all for today. Let us continue tomorrow. Have a great day. And God bless you all. Amen.